Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shir.
We briefly mentioned this at the end. I found the Shas. The Gemara said that a person can't be maskir mechotzoi the nevekechavim in the nation nikra al shemoi, because everyone knows whose it is, and people are going to assume or think that he sent the goy to operate his merchatz on Shabbos, which, you know, is a problem of Amir al-Akum, to have someone do malacha for you on Shabbos. And again, it's not what he did, the guy operating it on his own, but still there's a Maris Ayin, and Ladias Daiti, it seems that this is a Dindar Abonim. The worst is that it's a Shvus, and we all know Amir al-Akum is a Shvus, and yet the Gemara says it's a Din Maris Ayin on the Dindar Abonim. Is everyone with me on that? Alright, so that's what the Gemara says. Now, if you look at the Ramah, it's actually in Siman Pei Zayin, but you were referring to, I know what you were referring to, the din of it's really
almond milk.
Yeah, but that's a Shtikl Shleibim Kaimel. The main source here is in the Ramah, Siman Pei Zayin.
Let me get that right now. I'm going to get it right now.
So the Ramah says, the Machaber. No, the Machaber doesn't bring it. Let's go with the Ramah. It says, V'nagu lasois cholov mishkedim, u'manichem ba basar oif. He says, the Ramah says, the minhag is to make almond milk, and they would put inside the almond milk the meat of a bird, chicken.
In it.
They cook it
together.
Yeah, they put it, not cooking, it doesn't say that. That's important. They put it in there, and the Ramah says, Hoyo ve'inu rak midrabonon, since it's only midrabonon, avo, the basur behema, yesh laniach etel hafalot shkedim, yishumar asayim. But when it comes to basur behema, actual meat, you should put next to it the chalosh kedi, so people should know you're not putting, you know, if you put the meat and the milk together, almond milk together, you should make sure to put the almond milk next to it, so people shouldn't assume you're having milk and meat together because of marasani. I literally went out to eat last night, and one of the dishes was duck with Parmesan cheese. So we asked the waiter, he said, duck with Parmesan cheese. You know, duck said the cheese. And we asked the waiter, which cheese are they putting with the duck? And he's like, Parmesan. He wasn't a Jewish waiter. And we're like, well, Parmesan, he's like, oh, no, it's soy Parmesan cheese that they put. And it wasn't 100%, obviously it wasn't real cheese, but it was duck with Parmesan cheese, which is, again, this is the halacha of the Ramah, really. When you have basar oif with almond milk, basar oif and cheese. So this, the Ramah says, is not a problem of marasai. You don't have to put that's what it seems from the Ramah. And he says, this is where the Shach comes along and says his thing. He says first, he asks a question from Shulchan Aruch before. He says, "Basar behema b'cholov is basar oif b'cholov is midrabbanan, but like lemechash lemarasayin." L'chein, he says, let's say you have basar behema b'cholov, which is also midyarais, like chicken or bird meat with milk is only a drabbanan, even if you cook it together, it's only midrabbanan. I should have maybe mentioned that. So the worst is it's going to be is a drabbanan, and therefore There's no marasayin, so that people shouldn't think that you're having milk and meat together. It says kapla plus of the teres kaplas. We'll feed that tzarach lemer the marav bishul dilav hochi if the basa behem lachlis with the raisa. He says, let's say you're not cooking the milk and meat together. So at worst, the almond milk, that is. At worst, it says the rabbanon. So he says, in that case, when you're not cooking the meat and the almond milk together, because the araisa is only esra basa b'cholov if they're cooked, you wouldn't need to leave show that it's almond milk, because that's also a drabonim, he says, based on this.
So what's a cheeseburger when the cheese is added when it's cold? That's a reminder.
That's also the rabbanon. Yeah. Let's say it's cold. Let's say, let's say the, it could have to be placed in a certain way. Let's say a cheeseburger is taken off of the fire and put into a plate. Many hold that that's a cliche. Marshall holds that it's a dover gush, but let's say you hold it's a cliche. Cliche is not nevashel, doesn't cook. You want to put cheese on a cheeseburger. Cheeseburger.
Real cheese,
real meat. And you put it together on a plate. It's not a diaraisa.
And I mean, you still can't eat it. It's a darabonin, but it wouldn't have a din of. So I think truth is based on what Richard's saying, and based on this again, might not come out like this. Let's say you have those impossible burgers, right? The worst it is that they're not putting the. I don't know if they put the fake cheese while it's on the flame. I think they put it in the plate. They put the fake cheese on it. And then it's a cliche. So that would also be a drabon.
Yeah, it's the impossible burger looks exactly like burgers. I mean, it's totally indistinguishable.
It's indistinguishable. But based on what the Rambam is saying, and the Shach brings the Torah's Chatos, because it's a drabonon, you won't have a problem with Marasayin. Zot the Shach of Marshal, he brings. No, he says that, of course, even if there's a derabbanon, I'm going to paraphrase this, even if there's a derabbanon, there's an issur of marasayim. V'chein eskimu achroin, v'chein yor lami yazayti, do hafilu b'midi derabbanon, chashinu l'marasayim, b'kam aduchti, he says. He brings rayas from Gemara's and Shabbos. Of course, there's an issur of marasayim. You showed me Stangram Nassim, but he's going different. That the Shach says, of course, by a milsa derabbanan, there's a din of marasayin. He argues with the Ramah. He's saying, the Shach, that even when it comes to chicken, which is a derabbanan, and milk, almond milk, you have to make sure to have the chal of shkedim put next to it, because it looks like you're having meat, bird meat, and milk together, which even though it's a derabbanan, there still is a problem with marasayin. The Shach says, okay. It's a derabbanan. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. So, very good. That's what? Even if you have beef. If you have meat, beef. Doesn't matter. So, the truth is, you're right. Based on the Ramah, and he says, that's what he says in the beginning. Let's say you're not cooking. Let's say you have beef and milk, almond milk. There's no alcohol in the marasayim. Worse, what's it? You're not cooking it together, so what's the problem? You're having your coffee with beef. What? Salami and cheese sandwich. Delicious. Not cooked. It's only the rabban. Only the rabban. But this is the Shach in Simen Pei Zayin. Sivkot and Vav. And again, Lanias Daiti, you have a raya from our Gemara. It's interesting. The Shach says from Kamaduchti, you see now, like this Belchari, you see from our Gemara by the case of having a goy operate your merchatz on Shabbos, which again is at worst of the rabbanon, Samir la'akum, and there's a mar, it's only a mar zayin, because again, the guy's not doing this for the Jew necessarily. He's doing it for schar or whatever. It's not real Amir la'akum. It's only a mar zayin. And yet, the Gemara says it's a problem mar zayin. You see from here, Chayra, that there's a din marasayin on an issur de rabbanon. I think the main point here is to know this shach with the Ramah. This is the sugi over here. And again, I'm just showing to our Gemara. I think it's a pretty good, you know? Yeah. Yes. Right. So that's another thing that he brings here. That is the case here. The case over here is where you're not cooking it together, and it's just butter oi. And therefore he says that is the case. So the two derabbanans wouldn't make a difference, really. That's what he says over here. He says, who muskim mikol ha-poiskim. Chomeshin esbarbar chayim simshin hey. He says, he brings not my case, but he says, even though Isra mekach lemker b'shabes is ein elam derabbanan, still, it's an issur of marasayin. He brings your, I think this is your Taisus and Ksubas that you showed me yesterday, Samach Aman Aleph. That's what it is, right? Rav Nosson brought a Tosfos in Ksubas. That's interesting because Tosfos over there is talking about the din of Chadrei Chadorim. That's, I don't know why he's stelling that suit over here. B'hochi mashma b'duchi tuvo zok v'shach. So famous shach, Simon Pei Zayin, Sivkot and Vav, and Chayar Gemara is zunstel to that halach. Okay, let's start the daf today, please. We are on again. Daf today is Chaf Beis. We're on Chaf Aleph from the Beis, three lines from the bottom. Again, moving along in this halacha of having someone operate the business of the merchatz, a goy on Shabbos. I did bring the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. He says at the end of all these dinim, you should ask your Rav, basically, about how to deal with all this stuff. That's his way
of... What's the Rav supposed to do?
I always wondered, ask your Rav. What does the Rav...
what does the Rav do?
The Rav should ask his Rav. Yeah. Well, again... Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's true. It's just the Rav has to end up knowing more. I mean, he says here at the end, Osir losses l'noch v'lama b'shamas. He says over here, v'chol inyonei schiru she'elo ha'she'elo shutvis im noch v'yesh lishol she'elo schochem. He says here in the Shmir Shabbos, Perek Lamed Aleph, which is the whole, all the halachas of Amir la'akum. The main heter that's brought down is that if the guy does it to make more money for himself on Shabbos, and everyone knows that, then that's okay. That's really the haskama. But if that's not well known, for example, let's say he has a guy who operates a store on Shabbos. Over there, right, he's making money off of it, he's doing it for himself, but everyone knows if it's a Jewish person's store, like the Gemara says by Merchatz, it's still a problem, even if he does it for Shchar. Now, what's the halacha of arisus? What does arisus mean? So maybe if there's shutvis, it's different. That's what he talks about. We're not going to go into it, but ayin sham. Tanya, three lines from the bottom, chafal from the bays. Tanya will enter the brayso. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, lo yaskir odom sadeu lekusi mipnei shenikras al shmoi. Okay, now we're talking about a field. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, not like the opinion before, he says, you're not allowed to be maskir adam sadei lukusi. You're not allowed to rent out or lease your field to a kusi because nikras al shmoi. Again, this is arguing on the opinion we had yesterday, which held that a sod is mutter because of arisus. We'll see in a second. But here we're talking about a kusi. And the reason why it's also is nikras al shmoi. The kusi is there. Oisa boy, malacha b'chol shmoi. Now we know a kusi keeps Shabbos. But he's still going to work the field on Chol HaMoed, which is a problem, right? We're allowed to do melacha on Chol HaMoed, but not, apparently, not planting or plowing your field. That's not okay. We'll see in a second the Tosfos with melachas of Chol HaMoed. But that's going to be a problem. And again, nikras al shmoi, it looks like he's doing it for him, and you can't have a kusi do rent your field, or lease your field, a field, because of Chol HaMoed. What do you mean the Omer? Yeah, you could even do that on Shabbos. You could do that even on Shabbos, the Gemara says. Yeah, Ktzira Shel Mitzvah. Yeah, that would be okay even on Shabbos. So you're right. Yeah, 100%. That would be okay because that's Ktzira Shel Omer is different. Oh, what about a guy? What about a regular guy? It would be okay. He for sure says kusi. He says only kusi. But a guy would be okay to rent out your field. What's the reason? The Amri, even if he operates it on Shabbos, the Amri, arisa arususei of it. We assume that the guy is not doing it as a shlichus for the purpose of the Yisroel, who's the owner. Rather, we assume he's doing it for himself, and that's fine. Arisa arususei of it. The sharecropper does it for his sharecropping. And therefore, ihachi kusinami, amri arisuse, arisa arisuse of it. We should say the same svara by a kusi, even though he's going to operate it on a Chol HaMoed, he's doing it for himself. He's not doing it for the owner, right? So, truth is, over here, right, again, forget about the owner. What happened to the din of Lifnei Iver? The kusi himself is doing the malacha. We'll see that in a second. So this is the kasha. What's the difference between a kusi and an oivik kechavim? Why is it only mutter to rent out a field to a kusi and not to a goy? Ma'ishna. Zot the Gemara. Arisusel Rav Shimon ben Elazar lesle. Firstly, Rav Shimon ben Elazar does not hold of this svara that you could assume that he's doing it for his own purpose. If someone owns a field and everyone knows that he owns the field and a person's operating it, we assume the operation is done for the owner. And we don't say, well, he's doing it for himself. He's doing it for the owner. So what's the difference? Ela ibe kechavim my time a mutter. So what's the difference? Why by another kechavim is it mutter for him to be maskir his sadeh? What's the reason? Here's the reason. The amrina leiv itzayis, because when a goy or an owner of a field tells a goy, a non-Jew, to not work his field on Shabbos, he's going to listen to him. Why shouldn't he? He's an obedient citizen. He'll listen to the owner and not operate the field on Shabbos. So fine, that's fine. What a cholamai? It's the same thing. It's the same. Well, again, by the kusi it would make a difference, but by a goy, it's either one. Either one. Don't operate it on Shabbos. Don't operate it on Cholamoid. Yep, it's true. But the Kusi is only talking about Cholamoid. So frankly, Gemara, Kusi Nami, if you're going to say that that's why you could rent out a field to a non-Jew is because he won't end up operating it when you tell him not to. So you should have the same Svara by a Kusi. Kusi Nami, Armin Levit Sayas. And for the Gemara, no. Sometimes it's worse to be more religious. Kusi loit sayas. Kusi's not going to listen to you if you tell him not to do it on Cholamoid. Again, what does a Kusi believe? He believes in Torah Shabbat, he doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. So he's not going to listen to you. Kusi loit sayas. The Amar Anoh Gamir Natsvei Minach. He's going to say, no, I know more than you. Don't tell me what to do. And therefore, he's going to end up operating on a Cholamoid. And again, it all goes back to the original problem. It's the owner has someone operating his field on Cholamoid, and therefore, Rav Shimon Elazar holds that you can't send a kusi to do it because he will operate on Cholamoid even if you tell him not to. Ihachi, the Gemara says, and at least Ihachi is not so partial like Tosfos asks. This Ihachi is really a question. Look at the top Tosfos. This is a question no matter what the pshat is. What are we saying, right? We're saying that you're not going to be maski or soda to a kusi because he might work it on Cholamoid, and it's Nikras al Shemoy. Nikras al Shemoy. Forget about on Nikras al Shemoy. The kusi's going to operate on Cholamoid. He's being over an Isser of B'dung Malach on Cholamoid. We're hold at this point, they should emphasize that kusim are Gerei MS. They're considered full-fledged Jews. They're considered full-fledged Jews, and therefore they have an Isser Malach like everyone else. So forget about the Soda being Nikras al Shemoy of the owner. He's a Jew and he's operating on Cholamoid. So the words here aren't really, it's a question no matter what, not based on what we just finished saying. That's what Taisa said, or Taisa asks on top. And he answers a pshat, but Pasha says it's a question no matter what. So frankly, Gemara, Yahachi, my year, you have native Shinikas al Shemoi, Tepiklei Mishum, Lifnei Iver, Loisitein Michshol. We should say over here, Lifnei Iver, Loisitein Michshol. And therefore, why you're causing the Kusi to do an Aveiro. So that's why it should be a problem. Why do you need to say amazing, amazing Gemara here. We're going to go to the Taisus in a second. Let's finish the Gemara. Firstly, is an Issa di Araisa, Pashkus, of Lifnei Iver Loisitein Michshol. And therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to lease out your field to a Kusi anyways. Ba'oyin is another reason. Also, there's another problem that it's Nikras al Shemoy. And you also have this issue over here, Yehuda Ba'oyin Lekra, like the Gemara asks in other places, there's an Issa D'Arai, so you have to bring another Issa D'Rabbanan to enhance the problem. An interesting thing. But so Ein Hachanami is a din of Lifnei Iver. That's one problem. And then there's also a problem of Marisayin, that it's Nikras al Shemoy. That's right. Yeah. Because the Kusi is not going to listen to you. And he's going to end up doing the Malacha. And there's a Lifnei Iver. And there's also a Marisayin. Sometimes, like I was saying, it's worse to be more religious.
We're being recorded.
Yeah.
We are being recorded. We should listen to you the best. The best? I happen to agree with you.
Oh, I wouldn't admit it. Good. Okay. Now, so what are we saying? A non-religious Jew.
Hold on, there is a shach. The Mishnah says there's a shach that by a mummer there's no issur of the fe'iver, there's no mitzvah of arevus.
I mean, I was going to say, like, if it's a non-religious Jew, there's still a problem of lifnei iver.
It should be, right?
But you're saying if he's a mummer, there isn't.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I mean, that gets into the shyness. Yeah, people over. Right. It's a real issue, right? You have the, you invite guests for Shabbos and they drive a car. They don't make brachas. It's a real issue of lifnei iver. But again, there might be better because it'll end up making them more, from. So, don't ask me these questions. Ask your rabbi. So let's go through a Tosfos. We have to go through this Tosfos. If you look at Tosfos, Tape of Claim Yishum Lifnei Iver, an amazing, Tosfos here. We have to really go through each part, but let's just focus on it for a second. Tosfos says, Tape of Claim Yishum Lifnei Iver. Aliba de Reb Shimon Elazar Parach, the Islai Kusim Gerei Emes saying. Tosfos says, like we just finished saying, Kusim are Gerei Emes. That's Reb Shimon Elazar's opinion. And the Gemara is asking, Lishitasai, that, all the problems we have here, Shimon Elazar's opinion, Parakam de Chulun, Gabihidu Reb Shimon, the Shadu Lar Meir, we're gonna skip over that for a second. Let's look at the Rabbeinu Tam. Yeshna Havi Raya, Mikan Yeshna Havi Raya, Lamasha Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, the Shaykh Lamemar Lifnei Iver, Afamidi de Lesbe Isura, Ela de Rabbanon. Zokta Rabbeinu Tam. Massive Rabbeinu Tam. That you see from here that there's a din of Lifnei Iver, Lesita and Mikshol, even in something which is only an Isra de Rabbanon, the Hamalacha, that's already one bombshell, and then he continues, Benutam's opinion and Moed Katan, Bezam and Aleph, Pashtus Rashi is not like this. Benutam holds that Malacha on Cholamoid is only Asr Midrabanan. So firstly, he holds that Malacha on Cholamoid is only Asr Midrabanan. And there's a din of Lifnei Iver on a Midrabanan, which you have to really try to understand. Because if you go from the Torah's eyes, there's no Isr of Cholamoid, according to Benutam, on Chol HaMoed. Yet the Torah's halacha of Lifnei Iver Loisite Michshol, again, there's no Isra Malacha, is going to apply to something that wasn't even Asa Midir Isra. So how does that, you have to really try to understand what that means.
Why? Well, why is it worse than the Eitzah Ra? The Eitzah Shein HaGenes.
So you have to say that, yes, so you have to say even on a Dir Isra level, that's the Kiddush here, because Lifnei Iver is a Dir Isra, even on a D'araisa level, a D'rabbanon is considered an Eitzarah. You would have maybe said on a D'araisa level, what's a D'rabbanon? What is a D'rabbanon? On a D'araisa level, there's no D'rabbanons. You have to say that even on a D'araisa level, a D'rabbanon has credence, right? And again, it's not it's not a terrible thing to say, but it is a chiddush. Because lo yisasur, there's a mitzvah l'shmaya d'ber chachamim. So you'd have to say that, like Rav Baruch Tov is saying, that here it's not, it still is a michshol. Maybe b'diaraisa, it's not an iser in and of itself, but it's still a michshol. It's still a eitzah she'eino hagenes. Again, maybe that's a partial thing to you, but I think you have to, for sure, emphasize that. Well, lo yisasur is a diaraisa. Sasur is a diaraisa. Why isn't, well, that's what we're saying, the chara there is, but because there really is no iser in and of itself to do malach and chol hamoed. There really isn't any iser in and of itself. It's not in and of itself a michshol. Okay. Right. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, he's saying that's the question is, what is considered a michshol, right? In other words, it's definitely not as bad when you do it. But you're saying it's still an Isser D'oraisa. Yeah, okay, maybe it's a Pashuta thing. Yeah. Yeah. Simple, it's a simple Jew. It's thinking like a simple Yid. The Rambam is confusing as far as what he holds. Lugabi Melacha B'Cholamay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why it's a chiddush in a second. The truth is, there is a chiddush. It's not a chiddush for a simple reason. I'll get to that in a second. But, no, you're right, Jonathan, you're right. I'm not arguing with you. And the truth is, you and Baruch David are on the same page, so you have to be very, very careful. But again, so the Rabbeinu Tam holds it's the Rabbanan. The big problem is that we have Gemaras that seems to say Beferish, that it is D'oraisa. And if you look at the bottom, Chol Mois D'oraisa, he says, and if you look, just continue further on towards the end, the Mepir Shabbeinu Tam, Mepharash Shabbeinu Tam, the Karelei D'oraisa, those Gemaras would say, Issa Chol Mois, Melacha Chol Mois D'oraisa, because it's an asmachta, b'verkam d'chagiga, lafuke ovel, avelus, she'en l'asmachta, l'midivir kabbalah, and this goes very well with what we said from Tosfos before, that an asmachta is more than just an asmachta. Maybe as far as the Prima Godim, or Psychakales. What? The Rabbanan Plus, yeah. Again, I don't know if you say the Prima Godim is a next level, but again, we saw that you see it's more chomer. And that's the Tosis over here. The big kasha is, I want to ask, that the Nesivis, the famous Nesivis holds, that if someone's over on an Isser of the Rabbanan B'shoigig, there's no need for a kapara. Because why? He says, the Dinder Rabbanan is only mitzvah l'shmaya d'vei chachamim. Someone is making a mistake. He's not going against what the chachamim told him not to do. D'oraisa, even if you, again, you're b'shoigig, there still is a problem. You ate pig. Did you eat pig? You ate pig. Doesn't matter if you didn't listen or not. You ate pig. You need a kapara. However, when it comes to the din d'rabbanan, which is only the mitzvah l'shmaya d'vei chachamim, if I do a b'shoigig, I didn't go against what the chachamim told me to say. Zaktim, see this? You don't need a kapara. His words are of command loy of ardami. It's as if you didn't do an aveiru. Well, mazer there is. You went against the chachamim. Then you would. But a b'shoigig, you wouldn't. But listen, Reishlin, this is in Reishlam and Gimel Dalad, Zivis. What's the case of Lifnei Iver Lysite Michsol? He's an Iver. He doesn't know.
It's always a
shoigig. So how could you say there's a Lifnei Iver and a Darabonim?
Oh, hold on. Say that again. In other words.
Wait. Okay. The kasha is, I'm sure you know, the Nesivis and Reish Lamed Gimel, Dalet holds that by a shoygig on a Rabbanan doesn't need a kapara.
There's no kapara, right.
Because the svara is, he doesn't say this, but the svara is that the din of the Rabbanan is only a problem because he didn't listen to the Chachamim. But if you're a shoygig, he did not listen to them, you just made a mistake.
Right.
So the kasha is, how can you ever have a
Lifnei? How can you have a Lifnei Iver D'Rabbanan? Because if he knew, this is a very interesting question, because if he knew, he would never want to violate it. But on the other hand, right now, he's not doing anything wrong.
He wouldn't be an Iver. I'm not responsible this also.
But if you would tell him, he would be very upset that he's violating the Rabbanan. That's a very interesting question. I don't know. It's a very interesting question.
Good question.
A very interesting question.
You hear this? Question.
Because he's not violating anything now. But on the other hand, it's not worse than the Eitzah She'enah Hagenis Lo, because he really wants to comply with the Divrei Chachamim. It's a very interesting question.
It has to be.
It's too good a question that it has to be a good answer.
I mean, the answer really is.
What's the answer?
I found the kasha. I found the kasha on the bottom of the Nesivos Mishpat. I don't know if the bottom he brings it. Jim Matrovsky, I think, he brings it. He has a huge piece on it. In that piece, I think he brings from the Ohr Sameach. I think the Ohr Sameach actually asks this question on the Nesivos. Or he says that the Nesivos is arguing. But the derech to answer is, but what Jonathan's saying is that even according to the Nesivos, it doesn't mean that from the perspective of the person, he might not be doing an Aveiro, but it's still something like a, you're saying, like it's an Eitz Hashem again. It's still not a pristine act if someone goes against the Chachamim and does something they don't want you to do. For example, I was thinking, let's say someone causes someone to be a Misasik, right? Misasik is potter, it's an oinus. You know, if someone does something in a way where someone will, by mistake, rub against the light and turn it on Shabbos. Right? That's, he's not doing anything wrong, but it could be there's still a Lifnei Iver because it's still something that's frowned upon, you know?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right, well, if you don't cover the light switches, you're shaggy. Yeah.
No.
All right. Okay, we have to move here a little bit. Command the loy over Adomi, he says. I mean, you can't get more of a stronger lotion than that, you know? I don't know why. No, who cares whether he believes or not? In this specific instance, he is doing something wrong. I don't care what he believes. I don't think we look at that. I don't think we look at that. In this specific instance, we don't care about his background information. Doesn't matter, yeah. All right. Okay, so keep that kash in mind. I think, again, I think the Olam is saying it, I think the way to answer the Nesivus would be that it's not really, you know, mamish. I think the way of looking at it is depends on the perspective, but we don't have so much time to be mayrich. There's a question, a big question to think about while you're in at work, as Rebbe always says. Okay, moving along. Hanhu marikohi. There were these saffron farmers. Why is that doing that? There were these saffron farmers. Amerikayim. There were saffron farmers, the Ivika Chavim, that were non-Jewish. And what happened was, they were partners in sharecropping this saffron field. And the way they split up the partnership was that the non-Jews would work for it on Shabbos, and the Yisrael would do it on Sunday. Meaning, technically, they were supposed to split up the day. That's how the partnership works. They're either working together on the same day, or they do, one does half the day, one does the other half of the day, but they weren't meant to split up days, one for you, one for them. It was done differently than that. That wasn't how it was supposed to do, and they did it differently than it was supposed to be.
And they did this just to avoid the Shabbos.
They did it to avoid the Shabbos problem, and this is where it gets dicey.
They were not partners with the sharecroppers.
They were arisas. They weren't shutfis, correct. They were arisim, sharecroppers. And the question was, if this is considered a problem of, like we said before, of Marasayin, of Amir Lakum, Asul Kameh de Rava Sharalu. They came in front of Rav, and Rav says, it's fine, you can have this arrangement. Eisevei Ravina L'Rava, Ravina asked Rava, Yisrov, Avikachavim, Shekibu Sada B'Shutvis. Here, again, here's a case of Shutvis, they were Makabu B'Shutvis, the Gemara doesn't seem to differentiate. Yisrov and a guy that accepted a field B'Shutvis, L'Yarmi Yisrov, Avikachavim, Tuchel Kachav Shabbos, V'Ani B'Chol. One shouldn't say to the other, you'll take your portion on Shabbos, meaning Yisrael would go, you do it on Shabbos, v'ani b'chol, and I'll do it on the weekday. That doesn't work. If they make that condition originally, then it's okay. Now, what's the reason for this? Because the basic lumdus, without getting too deep into it, is that when you have a partnership or a sharecropping arrangement, each one is supposed to do, either supposed to work it together on the same day or split up the actual day. To go now and have one do one day and one do the other day, it comes out, let's go from the Jew's perspective, let's use Shabbos. Technically, the Jew is supposed to do it on Shabbos, part of the day, or work with the Goy on that day. If he's going to say, I'm going to do it on Sunday, you do it on Shabbos, it comes out that the Goy is doing the shlichus of the Yisrael, is doing the work that the Yisrael was supposed to do, the Goy is doing it for him on Shabbos. That's the problem we're dealing with here. Is that a problem or is that not a problem? If that is what's going on, it's a problem of a guy doing something for the Jew on Shabbos. So that's the Gemara's question. If the Brisa says, if he says, you do it for me on Shabbos and I'll do it for Chol, it comes out that the Jew is having the guy work for him on Shabbos. So that's the problem the Gemara is asking. Let's finish the Brisa. But if they make the condition specifically in the beginning, then it's mutter, because it comes out, if they make a condition, you work on Shabbos, I work on Sunday, you work on Monday, I work on Tuesday. So there never was an obligation for the Yisrael to work on Shabbos, and therefore if the guy's doing it for him, he's not doing it as a shliach, so that's fine, if they made a condition from the beginning. In Bol Cheshbon, another case, let's say they didn't decide in the middle, we have two cases so far, right? First case was that after the Arisus was arranged, Joe and David meet each other, and David says to Joe, you know, work on Shabbos for me, do it then, and I'll do it on Sunday. That's a problem, because Joe is being the shliach of David to do work on Shabbos. If they make an arrangement before the Arisus, then it's all fine. That's great, because the Jew never had an obligation to work on Shabbos. Here we have an in-between case, or the other extreme. In Bo L'Cheshbon, it just happened to come out that they never really spoke it out. The Jew ended up doing work on Sunday, and the guy ended up doing it on Shabbos. And then after all was said and done, they came to make a calculation about how to divide up the produce. And they made a calculation that the non-Jew is going to get the produce that was for Shabbos, and the Jew is going to get the ones that was not for Shabbos, Sunday. They did a precise accounting, and they delineated this amount for him and then for him. So really what's happening in the end, it was all good until now, because no one spoke out anything. They just did what they were supposed to do. But at the end, it was Igloi Milsa, Rashi says, that the Jew wanted the guy to work for him on Shabbos, because he's giving all the payers of Shabbos to the non-Jew. And therefore, in Bo L'Cheshbon, it's Aser. Well, what do you do? What do you see? You see over here, Kasha on Rabba. Rabba said before that these saffron sharecroppers can split it up. Even if they didn't make the arrangement from the beginning, they can split it up in this way, and there's no problem of Amir L'Akam, Ashlichos. Here we see it's a problem. Ichsef, Rava got embarrassed, he didn't have an answer. However, the Saif, Igloi Milsa, it was revealed, the Hisnu Me'ikarahavu. They actually had made that precondition, and therefore it was okay. We have this all the time. Yes, you're right. There is no chiluk. Yeah, there is no chiluk. That's what we're saying over here.
Wow. This is midaraisa of the rabbanan.
The worst is it's a derabbanan.
Why?
Because it's the worst is it's amir la'akum. Well, you're saying
it's schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos, maybe I have to look it up.
Oh, schar Shabbos. Well, Schar Shabbos is the right, sure. Potentially.
Right. But possibly. We have to look it up.
It doesn't seem that there's an Isra of Schar Shabbos here, though, because they could divide up the payment they want to. Yeah, I hear you. We're going to see.
I don't know. I just don't know.
I hear what you're saying, because Rocky doesn't really mention anything about Schar Shabbos. He mentions the Tlichus, which is the din of Amir L'Akam. Yeah, that's what Rashi means. Schar Shabbos seems to be a deraisa. Marlin's that from a plus. The fruits that I'm getting on Sunday are instead of what I should get on Shabbos. So it, essentially, if you wrap it up a little bit, yeah, it's indirect. Okay, that's what we're dealing with, maybe. All right.
Very interesting question.
Good. No, it's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point.
The question is, well, what are the people who own businesses, like nursing homes, hotels? Well, what do they do?
So the Poshid thing over there is that the guy is doing it for himself.
The guy owns a hotel. No, the guy owns a hotel. So what does he do? It's open 24/7.
You look at the Taisus, Arisa, Arisuse, Pasuk Rabbeinu Tam. This Taisus really deals with that question. If you have a hotel that everyone knows is being operated by the non-Jews for their own sake, so then that's a din of Arisu, that has the heter of Arisa Arususe Kovid. That's the heter that, again, look at the Shmir Shabbos. That's the source for all of these questions, that you should present to your rabbi. The source is this heter of Arisa Arususe Kovid. It's a big bir aloha, but I'm not paskening, but that's really the source. What were you saying, Rabbi Sachs? Rabbi Sachs. I just made him a rabbi. Yeah. Oh, great points. Very good. So there's a din of Leisachonim. So we have to be talking about Nechutz Loretz. Yeah, it has to be in a place where there's no loy sichanim, where you're giving a portion of the land to a non-Jew. Correct. Yes, that's important. Yeah. The Ran says it, yeah. That seems to be okay. That seems to be okay. Look at Rashi. Very good. Look at Rashi. Not everyone agrees with that, but if you look at Rashi, in Bo Lecheshbon, the second to last Rashi in the Perek, his Gilo Yisrael shall Shabbos Bo Isach Haluka. The goalie died. Let's say you just split it up like you're saying. You account it. You don't specify Shabbos. That would be fine. That would be okay. It's a great point. I don't think everyone agrees with that, but the Rashi for sure. All right. Wait. Jonathan is passing halachas, but I. Wait. Can we just finish the? Yeah, we have to be a little bit short on time. We might need to do it tomorrow if that's okay. Jonathan, if you give me. Rav Gavia. Rav Gavia mi Beik Sil Amar. He said the whole different version of the story. Hanu Sile Da'ar Lahava. This case was not on Shabbos. It was, they were planters of Arla. So we know Arla is the first 3 years of a fruit-bearing tree. The fruits are forbidden. Now there's a big difference between working a field on Shabbos and working a field during Arla. One is forbidden and one is mutter. So that's already an important piece, right? You're allowed to work a tree in its first 3 years. You're just not allowed to benefit from the fruits. So that's the big the kicker over here. The Rav Gavia changed the story, or he had a different version of the story. Also, the Kamei, the Rava, so they split it up. The guy did it during the first 3 years. The Jew did it in the next 3 years. They came before Rava Sharuluhu, and he permitted it because what is the problem? There is no problem. You can have a Jew work, even essentially, in other words, they should really split up the time during the day that they work, not split up the years, three for me. What is the problem? He's doing it for me. What's the problem? There's no problem in working a tree during Arla. So let's say the guy is doing it for me. What's the problem? No problem. So that's why Rava said it's okay to have this arrangement. And that was Rav Gvia's, that's how he had the story. In fact, the Gemara, that can't be the version of the story. Ravina asked the Kasha from Rava from the case of Shabbos that we had. But if you're learning that the story was by Arla, there's no comparison from Shabbos to Arla, like we just finished saying. So what was Rava coming to Ravina asking on Rava, if that's the case of the story, that was the story, then what's Ravina asking from Rava on Shabbos, about Shabbos? The Gemara says, let's see Yisrael. No, he's bringing a Raya. Because by the case of Shabbos, what do you see? That if it's done in a way where the work is permitted, for example, where you made a precondition, then we see that's 100% fine. So here also, by Arla, it's as good as a precondition because there never was an Isser to work during the years of Arla. So Ravina was bringing up proof to Rava from this Bryson. That's what he was doing. He wasn't asking Akasha. So again, we're just trying to conform the events with Rav Gvia's version of the story. Directing Gemara, it still can't make sense because of Ha'ichsif. Because Rava, when he heard this Brisa, he started blushing. He got all red in the face. Now, if he's having a proof being brought to his opinion, then why would he get all blushed? So he says, Rav Gvia lohel dvar me'olam. He says, no, that part never happened. That part never existed. Never got embarrassed. No, maybe he got embarrassed from other things, but not from this. Okay, Iboilu, Stoma Mai. What about the case of Stoma? Oh, so I made a mistake, Jonathan. I was saying that this is Mutter, but this is the question. Your case is the question of the Gemara. Let's say Stam. It just came out like this, again, that they split up the work. The guy did it on Shabbos, the Jew did it on Sunday without any specific stipulations. And then when they divided it up, they accounted the division of the produce. But they didn't mention in the division that some is for Shabbos and some is for Sunday. That's the question of the Gemara. So that's the Shaila in the Gemara. Sorry. I think there's a machlekes ha'poskim, how we paskin. But in the Gemara itself, that's the case of Stoma. What's the halacha? Stoma mai. Yivoyuhu Stoma mai. Look at Rashi. If you look at the bit, Da'af b'shas chalukah. Stam. Right? He's going on the next Gemara, but even at the time of the Chalukah, they didn't mention anything No one mentioned anything about Shabbos or Yom or Sunday here. It just ended up being divided that way. Is that okay? Toshima, im hishnu metchila mutter. We can make a diuk. If they made a precondition, then it's mutter to have this arrangement. Hastama, asur. But let's say they didn't make any arrangement, it's asur. So we have a raya that it's going to be a problem. Eim seifa. The same, we have the opposite raya from the seifa. In bo lecheshvin, if they specifically mention, like we said, they specifically mention Shabbos, then the halacha is asur, hastama, mutter. So what do you do? Elameha, leko, lemashma mino. We can't deduce any halachic conclusions from this brisa because it could go either way. And therefore, stama is, we're not sure. Hadron aloch lefnei, eight dehin. What a parak. We have to move, Jonathan. Why don't you hear Pesach from Rabbi David Feinstein tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem? Or in 7.5 years, Mr. Shem. All right, we're going to start the next parak over here. Let me just give the Hakdam of the Meiri that we've been quoting. This is, I feel, very, very important. Pshat. We've been dealing, sort of, grappling with the question of what a goy is in the times of these Mishnayos. Are we talking about a pagan person or someone who's just not, or an atheist? What exactly does Ivek Chavim? So we're going to learn the next Mishnah. For sure, the next Mishnah, the Meiri really points this out in other Mishnayos. But I have it here very, so it's very strong Gloshin. He says, Ukvar hispire, he already explained, Dafvav, he says, Shadvarim halalu, these in Yonim, this Meiri is here, yeah? These things of selling a behemagasa and all that, Nemru manim shahayu oisam ha'umas me'oivde ha'elilim. Listen to what he says. He says it was done during those times where those nations were pagan. They served idols. V'hayu mizuhamim b'maseihem. Their ways were mizuhim, which is a sour. They were disgusting ways. M'chorim, decrepit. B'midaseihem, in their manners. K'inyan ha'omer b'tzas k'masei eretz mitzrayim. K'masei eretz mitzrayim sh'yishavtem bo le'sasu k'masei eretz kanan. That's all these dinim. Abul Shar Umay Shehim Gidurim Bedarche Hadosas Shehim Nikim Michuam Shemidus Halalu. But other societies which have morals, there are rules that they have, and they aren't, you know, barbaric like these nations. Va'adarava Mshemanishim Aleim. They have a rule. They have a system. They have a societal system. Where they, you know, if you do something, you don't have keep your seatbelt on, you get punished for it. So for them, ain't suffix, ain't with varm halalum bakum lahem klal, boy should be arnu. There's no suffix that these rules will not apply to those societies. Which would be? Yes. The kfar nichbar, he says, the kfar nichbar ze harbi bidvarenu, kadeshloi tetzdach lakama. Taisus always, in all cases, in a second, tries to find ways why nowadays it's okay. There's no shaila. Today, those goyim don't exist. The statnu hadayrus. Yeah. One second, Reb Nosson, go ahead. Yeah. So again, so that's what I was saying. I think the two things go hand in hand.
Even if they're pagan barbarians?
Well, that's, well, again, the two things go hand in hand. A pagan, either it's a simon or a siba, I think it's a siba. A pagan who's involved in avodah zarah, it leads to barbarism.
Barbarism is the same, it's just beliefs.
No, so again, so, but look at the way they worship the Avodah Zarah also. They kill children, they defecated in front of it. The two things, someone explained it to me, because their Avodah Zarah is physical, really. It's a physical thing. So it ignites the passions. You see, this is Meiri. It's a Meiri. You hear this? This is a... What's that? He was a Rishon.
What year did he, like,
I mean, he was in the, I think, the 1300s. He was one of the later Rishonim, I believe. Sardin. He was in Spain.
He was in the mid. He was in France in the mid 1300s.
You heard the Meir of Altov, and you blanked out there.
Unbelievable. Are you kidding?
I mean, this is
so, so that means all of those Gemaras in First Perek are not applicable anymore.
He says, if you look at Tosfos, he finishes piece here. He says, if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos tries to wangle the halacha l'maaseh of today, how it differs from the Mishnayos. He says, you sell the goyim, you don't worry about their holidays. You give them animals as a pikadon. What's the thing? He says, look, he's far nichbal zehar bebedrein, kadesh like the tzarech l'kamaruk d'chokim sha'at ha-maaseh b'chadushin ha-betosfos aleich ha-letzarech. You don't need those daichikim that Tosfos says. The Deloitte, sorry, he says, nowadays all this doesn't apply. You don't have pagans. Yeah, but,
huh?
But that wasn't their Avodah Zarah. They just hated Jews. That's anti-Semitism. That's different. That wasn't from a pagan thing. Yeah, but again, the Amalek of barbarics, they weren't, you know, going into their friends' animals and being revei of them. You know, that's it.
Really?
Well, let's read the Meir. Okay, we have to read. I'm sorry. We could talk more tomorrow. I just felt this Meir is now. I'm sure everyone here has better things to say than what I say, but I just try to do things that are focused on the pshat that I feel are
necessary. So interesting.
It's Stikl Yetzirah when I said in the Tzivos, I'll ask them.
You're saying that the Meir is also on Davav? I'm just pulling it up right now, the Yetzirah Chochma.
The notes bring the Meir from Davav.
I'm on it. You know, one of the times that I went to Rav Dov Landau, he showed me that in the Tshuvas HaRashba has Tshuvas to the Meiri.
Okay.
Yeah, he said that the Rashba had Tshuvas to the Meiri going back and forth. It's very interesting.
Yeah, he wasn't child's play, the Meiri.
At that point, the Meiri was much younger. So the Rashba was dealing with him, but not like you would expect, as he was much, much younger.
Okay. Look, the Mishnah. You can't park your animal in the Motel 6 of a goy, because they will, behind your back, sodomize the animal. And then, of course, a woman... Don't spare the woman. The goyim are promiscuous. You shouldn't meet anyone in a dark alley because they are suspect of murder. Okay, stay away. Well, oh, that's a good point. We'll see. Wait a minute. Frankly, Gemara loichem mehem behem lekarbin veinchoshim lemishem noyveav lemishem nirva. You're allowed to buy an animal from a guy and bring it as a carbon, even though there are certain psulim that make something, you can't have it as a carbon. If it was sodomized, if it sodomized someone else, or if it became designated for Avodah Zarah, or it was served, you don't worry about these things. So, bishlaim amuks of a nevad, bimisa da aksie, bimisa da palche, lehabim asmele. I can understand why we're not worried when you buy an animal from a guy that it was used for Avodah Zarah, because if he set it aside for Avodah Zarah, or he actually bowed down to it, he would never sell it. This is his getchka. This is his prized idol. He would never sell it. El reveb, and yirva lochlish, but we should still suspect that the guy, like we see in our Mishnah, that he will sodomize the animal, or he will be sodomized by it. Our Mishnah says that's why you can't be miyachad an animal with the guy. So how is this reconciled with our Mishnah? Lochish, we should worry about it. Amar Rav Tachlifa, Amar Rav Shila Bar Avina Mashmei D'Rav. Oyve Kechavim Chosal Behemtoi. When it comes to his money, he's careful with it. Shaloi Te'oker, because like we spoke a couple of weeks ago, that if an animal is sodomized, a female animal that is. It will not be able to have children. So he wouldn't do that to his animal. He's losing money. A Jew's animal, though, like our Mishnah, where a Jew parks his animal in the motel, that is a problem because he doesn't care about someone else's money. But that problem that you worried that if you sodomize the animal, it will become sterile, let's say, that's only by a nekeva. What about a zachar, a zacharim, ma'ikal ameimar? Amrav kahana, hoyu l'machishon b'basar. Still, if someone sodomizes a zachar, it ends up weakening it, takes away its strength, and the meat of it, it becomes weak. So we're not choishish again. This is talking about a guy's own animal, right? We can still buy a zachar from a guy. Zachar could be bought, let's say, for a carbon oil. You're allowed to do that. And we're not worried that it was sodom of the guy, sodomized with it, or it sodomized the guy, because the guy, it would get weak because of that.
It's so interesting. Well, why is that?
You don't know that he's intending to sell it. You don't know that he's intending to sell it, and if it's found out, it will be worth less. He'll get less money for it.
Why would it?
Because it's weak, or it doesn't have a reproductive system. The male is weakened. It's a weakened. It loses its strength. It can't work as well.
Is this a biological thing? I mean, how does that work?
It's for sure biological. I
just don't see it. Wow. Okay.
I wish Rabbi Belsky was around. He'd be able to demonstrate this.
No, he'd be able to tell us.
All right. We got to move our voice. Say, please, have Rachman. Zachar Ma'ikul Meimar. Amar Rav Kahana. We learned in a brisa that if you buy a behema from a shepherd of a non-Jew, you're allowed to do that. It says you're allowed to do that, but it's not the shepherd's own animal. So what do you want?
For carbon.
Yeah. So Zokta Gemara, Roya Shalahem Misyari, because now he's afraid. It's not his animal, but he's afraid that if his owner finds out that he was, you know, hanky-panky with this behemoth, he's going to lose his schar, his wages, and therefore, again, we're not choishish for Nerebe Avenirva. Elohad Tanya, Ein Moishun Behema L'Roya Shalahem, you're not allowed to give a behemoth to their Roya. You're not allowed to, Jew, again, is not allowed to give his behema to the Raya, because we are chayshish for Rebe Avenirva, and as Rashi emphasizes again, that's usher to Bnei Noach, and there's a lifnei iver lesite michshol. Why would you be worried about that? Blame a Raya shalahen misyare mishum hefsid. It also loses schar. What are you sodomizing my animal? I gave you to have it graze in the field. Here you are sodomizing the animal. So the Gemara says different by a Jew to a non-Jew. Listen to this adage. Inu diadi bahadodi miratasi. They know each other. The goyim know. They know that everyone there is sodomizing everyone's animals. And therefore, if he sodomizes his animal, the guy is going to know that he sodomized the animal because they all know they're all in the same, same business. The same league. But the non-Jews know, or at least they think, we don't know about them. We don't know of such things. And therefore, they assume the Jews are ignorant in this area, and a Jew is not going to suspect the non-Jew of doing the revia. And therefore, you're not allowed to give the animal to the Raya, because the Raya thinks the Jew will never know about it. And what's the saying for such a thing? Right? The saying for such a thing is, Heinadar Miyinshi, Amarava, Heinadar Miyinshi, Mistava Glola Baza. The writing instrument. The marble is cracked by the writing instrument, meaning the marble, which is a very, very hard material, still is afraid of the writing instrument because the marble, even though if you look at the two objects, why would the marble be afraid of the writing instrument? But the marble knows that the writing instrument can be engraved, can engrave in him, make engravings in him. So he's afraid, meaning underneath it, the marble's afraid. He knows. And therefore, Ragla, same thing. Ragla b'chaveru yoda. A spy knows another spy. Because that guy is sodomizes animals, the other guy is afraid to sodomize the animal because this guy knows he's going to sodomize it.
So that's all by guy?
From a guy to another guy.
By
so by a Jew to a guy, the guy knows that the Jew is not in this business. So the guy never assumes, the Jew would never assume that the guy would do that. Right. He will, and therefore you're not allowed to. Okay. So now, frankly, Gemara, if this is the chash, yehachi zacharim in a cave is like Nisban, right? You should not be able to buy a zachar animal from an akeva non-Jew and use it as a carbon. Why? Because Because she's doing the side, well, the animal's sodomizing her. And there's no problem of the animal becoming less valuable because the animal's not being sodomized. And there's no chash, of course, of the animal becoming sterile because we're talking about a zachar to a woman. So we should worry about that. How could you buy an animal that's a zachar from an akeva? We should be chayshish for revia. No, Gemara says, kima de migri ba miratasa. No, if this animal, I guess, marries her, the animal's going to hang around her all day, and this is her boyfriend. So she's not going to want to do that. She's going to look, people are going to look askance on this, Sarah is married to Fido. And that's a... okay. Mary had a little lamb. That's very good. Okay, all right. I don't know. Should we go a little bit? All right, the time is up. We'll start from here tomorrow. We got a little off track today.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Eon shiur on any daf in Shas, including Myra McComas on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS. That's 203-312-7427 or email info@shasilluminated.org.